I'm pleased to welcome back the voice of the racers, Neil Bradley. Neil, thanks for being on Sounds Good.
Glad to be here, Tracy.
The last time you were on the show, the racer football team was about to take on probably their toughest opponent of the season, Eastern Illinois, and they did lose, Neil, but racers put up a heck of a fight.
Yeah, they ended up losing 37-17, but they were down 30-0, actually rallied, put together, I think 20 straight points to make a game out of it. But Eastern Illinois scored, I think, with about 7 minutes to go, the one long touchdown. Really, their only huge play of the day, to put it away. And I was talking with their play-by-play guy after the game, and he said, our bread and butter's the big play. You guys gave us one all day. And he said we played them about as well as anybody had played them all year at the FCS level, other than SIU when real early in the season took them into overtime. But Racers gave a good account of themselves. Parks Frazier started that game. Mikhail Miller had had some effectiveness issues, and Parks gave a really good account of himself, I thought, in the second half. And the Racer defense, against a really prolific offense, played about as well as you could expect.
That loss, unfortunately, eliminated the Racers from OVC conference championship contention. They did, however, last week go down to Nashville, Tennessee, and talk about playing a team tough. They really played well against Tennessee State.
Yeah, Tennessee State this week ranked 25th in the FCS poll. That was their season finale, so they really needed a win, probably needed a Jacksonville State loss to get an at-large bid in the playoffs. I think they'll get in when they make the announcement for at-large bids on Sunday morning. They ended 9-3, but it wasn't easy. The Racers, in fact, led 10-0. The offense got off to a really good start. Parks Frazier hit Polky Harris in the back of the end zone. They got a 24-yard field goal from Mark Weinstra. And they go up 10-0, and just before the half, TSU gets a field goal to make it 10-3. The team sort of struggled with momentum, and then no one scored in the third quarter, but the fourth quarter, the Racers might have started to wear down just a little bit, and TSU hit the Racers for a couple of big plays. The last one was the clincher, and that was with just a minute 28 to go. That gives you an idea of how close they were just to sending it into overtime, but it just wasn't to be. Tennessee State emerged.
And now the Racers, for their final game of the season, will play Eastern. It's here in Murray, and on the line is a chance for a 500 record. What are the chances the Racers pull this one out?
They have a shot, and I'll tell you the reason. First of all, the Racers are very injured, but if Dean Hood happens to be listening today, he's not going to get the crying towel out because he has 8 starters who are out because of injuries. So if you wonder why Eastern Kentucky has slipped, started losing a few games, they've been decimated by injuries just like the Racers. And most of that's come on the offensive side of the ball. They've still played well defensively. If you look at their last 6 games, there's an aberration in there. They gave up 68 points to Jacksonville State, 300 rushing yards, but besides that, they gave up under 35 points combined in the other 5 games. So I don't know what happened in the Jacksonville State game, but they played very well. It'll be very tough for the Racers. Parks Frazier is dealing with a little bit of a knee injury, so I'm not sure of his status even at this point for the game coming up on Saturday. We'll just have to wait and see. Mikhail Miller will probably play. Janowski Davis, who's the Racers' 3rd best receiver, he's probably not going to play. Walter Powell's already out. Navarre Griffin's already out. And this is a team that on offense really is looking for some answers.
Let's turn on over to Racer basketball now. Last time we talked, they were about ready to play Valparaiso. Played them tough. Lost a close one, 77-74.
They did. You can really point to one segment of that game where the Racers lost it. They were up, I think, 9 points with about 4 minutes to go, and they hit a 4-minute stretch where they played poor defensively. Valparaiso was able to erase that lead. Then in the second half, the Racers, they hit a couple of spots where they couldn't hit free throws. In fact, they ended the game 1 of 6. If they even make 3 or 4 of those, they probably come away with the win. And they had the right guys at the line. Cameron Payne, a prolific free throw shooter when he was in high school. Dexter Fields has been a good free throw shooter. And then you have Jeffrey Moss, who was fabulous last year, and he missed a free throw. So they had the right guys at the line. Didn't happen. But it was a really good account of themselves as Valparaiso, their next time out, had Illinois within 2 points with about 2.5 minutes to go before losing to them.
Next up was Brescia, and a game that the Racers were expected to win big, and they did win big, 97-69.
Yeah, it's one of those. It's a money game for Brescia. They get paid a little bit of money. Josh Gibson, who's a former director of basketball operations, he's a Callaway County guy. He's the head coach at Brescia. I think his team's improved from last year, but that was supposed to be an easy win for the Racers, and it was. Very difficult to really get any measurement, though, when you're playing against a team like that. They're playing a lot of players. The Racers are playing very vanilla. They're not going to show anything that's going to show up on film for anyone to catch at any point down the road. But the good news is they did the things they were supposed to do and picked up the win.
Next up was Old Dominion. I don't know a lot about this year's Old Dominion team. Historically, that's a squad that'll beat you to death on the front line, though. Racers dropped that 70-60.
Yeah, they were not quite as big as they've been in the past, but still a pretty good size. They had a really good guard out front that gave the Racers some problems. And this is another game where the Racers, they're up by 9 points with a couple of minutes to go. They have some defensive lapses, but they're still up by 7 at halftime. But in the second half, the Racers couldn't buy a bucket. They were outscored 41-24. Again, having some free throw problems. At one point, they were one of their first 11 from the charity stripe, so that kept them from stringing any runs together, and Old Dominion hit just enough shots. Racers made a valiant effort, but ended up losing it by 10. Again, if they hit the free throws, they're going to be right into that one at the end. So this is a team being kind of watched growing before your eyes. They're still in the learning process.
And then on Tuesday night, Bethel came to town, and they left with a defeat in 91-64.
This team has three kids from the first region. They had Caleb Hardy, Cole Nelson, Kendall Deese from Murray High, so kids with a local flavor. Hardy, I didn't think was going to play. He poured in 8 points, and he'd been dealing with what they think might be a stress fracture, and I noticed he left the game limping and didn't return. So I'm not sure how that's going to come out. But this was a game that really featured the best game we've seen so far from Jarvis Williams. He had 25 points. He pulled down 13 rebounds. Dexter Fields had another good game with 21. Cameron Payne with 8 assists. And finally, we got to see what Jonathan Farrell could do when he's not in foul trouble. He had some foul problems, but because of the opponent, they went ahead and let him play his minutes. He picked up 12 points and 10 rebounds. The Racers played some zone, not because they needed to, but they need to work on it. It's probably something they're going to have to end up using. Defensively, they're not too terrible out of the zone, but they're having problems rebounding out of it, and they go on the road against some of these tougher teams. That's a problem they'll have to get solved, or they're not going to be able to play zone either.
The preliminary part of the schedule is pretty much behind the Racers now. We've got Auburn coming up tomorrow night, then Middle Tennessee, St. Mary's, Evansville. At this point in the season, what do you like about this team, and what are an area or two that you think they need a bit of improvement on before they start off by tomorrow night going to Auburn, Alabama?
I like the enthusiasm that they have, and they don't get down too much after they lose. I mean, I've seen losses just devastate teams at times, and it's not a I don't care. I think they realize, look, we're young, we're inexperienced, we're still kind of learning, and they're still getting encouragement from the coaches. Now, there will be a point of no return on that somewhere down the road, but right now that's, I think, to the point they are. They work very hard. They try to pay attention to detail. I just think they have so much they're having to absorb, and, you know, they can't retain all of it. So they get a little more, get a little better each week. Defense is where they're going to have to really pick up the pace. I think the free throw shooting will come along. That one really doesn't concern me. And I think they'll shoot well. Cameron Payne has been a great shooter throughout his high school career. I know his shooting will come around. Just have to do a little bit better job of getting comfortable on the road, and that usually is a mark of a young and inexperienced team. That's one of the notches that you try to somehow pick up. So they'll have many opportunities over the next few weeks to do that. This Auburn team that they're going to face, a couple of really good scores. One guy over 20, another one just under, and KT Harrell and Chris Denson. A little bit of a change in personnel from last year. They have good size. Of course, the Racers will be playing in their arena, and I know there's a few guys on that team that remembers we lost to the Racers in Charleston by 20. They had us down by 40 at one point. They may not say it publicly, but I guarantee you they remember that. This is a big game for the Racers. If they don't win or do win, however this comes out, the next three opponents are a combined 13-1, so it gets very difficult after this from here on.
The Racers will be very tested even before the calendar turns over to December. Neil Bradley, the voice of the Racers, thanks for being on Sounds Good.
Glad to be here. Thanks, Tracy.